Good morning, family. Buenos días. Let's do Spanish. How about that? It is always a privilege to share what the Lord has been teaching me and teaching us as family. I need to recognize that to deliver this message is a struggle for me because it comes from brokenness. It comes from the last season that I've experienced difficulties. And it's a very difficult pill to swallow. And as I was talking to Pastor Brian a few weeks ago, I was telling him that I had other messages already prepared. I just needed to pull the enter button in the computer and translate it to English, and that's it. It's done. I can relax for the rest of the days. And so it's been difficult the last couple of months traveling. But the Lord said, no, you're not going to do that. And then I was doing one day a devotional, just in one text, a short verse. And the Lord told me, you're going to preach about that. And I said, Lord, even as I read the commentaries of the Bibles, nobody wants to talk about it. But he said, you're going to talk about it. And so I asked Brian if he was okay for me to preach this message. So here it comes. Let's see how the Lord take us in this short journey, and I'm praying that the Lord will give us ears and eyes to receive his word and to be totally transformed. So, the title of this message is Between Passover and Gethsemane, the Son of the Redeemer, Obedience and Hope in the Midst of Trials. And the main text for that, it is Matthew 26, verse 30. I'm going to use the New Living Translation just for the sake of Spanish. It's easier for me to preach with this version. However, when I study the Greek or we go to a deeper understanding, we should use other versions. Just I want to mention that. But I'm going to use the New Living Translation. Then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. So that is our text for today. You can go to the next one. They sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. So let's dig what is going on here. We see that this is a transition text. That's why it's a little bit difficult to preach. So it's not the main idea. It's just a transition between one circumstance between the other and then the other, right? We're talking about like a door between two scenarios. And in one hand, we're talking about the celebration of the Passover. This excitement is a celebration for the Jewish people. But in the other hand, we're talking about the suffering of Gethsemane. And we can see there is a deep contrast in this passage. And what we want to aim this morning is I just want to go to the middle and how is connected to the rest of the circumstances. So the next one, some of the most important moments in our lives happen in the transition, as this text. Even though it can be short transition moments, God wants to teach us and use these transitions for our growth in our Christian life. And let's go start to dig into the passage, okay? What is going on here? So what we see here in this text, we see that the things are already heated. The last moments of Jesus are coming soon. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, everybody had already an orchestrated plan. And not everybody understood what was going on. We can see in one of the Gospels says that the disciples were already sad. They were having some affliction, some anguish, but not everybody understood what was going on. And Jesus is there in the Last Supper with his disciples, and there was maybe confusion, there was maybe sadness, but Jesus fully understood what was going to happen. And as Charles Spurgeon quote, thinking about, let's put our imagination in that room in the upper room. No, we call it the how do you call that place? Yeah, the upper room. Okay, the upper room. So imagine being there and the emotional wait for Jesus and for the disciples. But Spurgeon quote that if there was ever a moment when it made perfect sense for Jesus to break down in tears, it was right then. But instead, his brave heart chose to sing a hymn. Our glorious Jesus showed true courage beyond anyone else. But he chose to sing. Let's go to the next one. Then the question is, what did they sing? The next one. And then we see that they sang a hymn, and it's called the Hallel. I'm going to explain that. And as a musician, when I saw the word, you can go to the next verse, the next slide. No, the previous one. Okay, there was a problem there with my presentation. So what did they sing? They sang a hymn. And as a musician, this is the moment where the text really caught my attention. What was the Hallel? The word Hallel means praise. It was a special Jewish prayer and song of thanksgiving used during celebration holidays, especially during the Passover dinner. And you know what? They used psalms from the Old Testament. Which type of psalms did it cover? The Hallel included six psalms, from Psalm 113 to Psalm 118. And during the Passover meal, the Jews usually sang the first two psalms, 113 and 14, and 114, before eating, and they sang the rest as a closing song after the meal. The Hallel was such a special time during the Passover meal to remember God's great rescue. And it recalls the bitter days of slavery in Egypt and the night God protected their families through the blood of the Lamb on their doors. Then it turns into a joyful shout about the Exodus, celebrating how God led them to freedom and completely buried the Egyptian chariots in the Red Sea. It was a powerful reminder of a God who brought them from slavery into glorious freedom. That was the Hallel. And potentially, according to the study that I did, as much as I could, I believe in a 95% that the hymn that Jesus sang after the meal was done, before going to Gethsemane, was Psalm 115. Let's look briefly how does that psalm begins in verse 1. Psalms 115, verse 1. And let's see how does that psalm begin. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name goes all the glory for your unfailing love and faithfulness. Are you kidding me? This is the hymn that Jesus sang. It was not about sorrow. It was not about, I am falling apart. I am broken inside. God, have you forsaken me? No. It was about God's character. So basically what Jesus is saying to us with this example is that our master is saying Christianity is about joy. It's about happiness. Even when the final hour comes. It was not a denial of pain of Jesus, but it was a declaration of who God is. And that was the powerful thing about the Hallel. And these are the couple of principles I have discovered that I want to share with you. Principle number one. Singing was obedience. Singing was obedience. I can imagine the loudest voices in the room that day. that night. A few hours later, he was thinking he will be mocked and beaten. The following day, he will be crushed and crucified with the worst death of the worst times as a thief outside of the city. And despite of his internal brokenness, Jesus' missions did not stop there. He voluntarily continued to finish it. He got committed. He was obedient till the end. That's Matthew chapter 5, 17, when he says, "Don't think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." And that's why we understand why Jesus was baptized. He didn't need to be baptized. He didn't need it. But he did. To show us the path, he didn't need to sing that song that day. He was crushed inside. But he did it. He remained faithful. He loved his disciples until the end. Even with Judas in the room. Till the end. He didn't interrupt. He decided to sing. His song was not escape. He was not trying to escape from his reality. It was obedience. Why? Because of the joy that was coming after that. Hebrews chapter 12, this says, "Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne." Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people, then you won't become weary and give up. That's why he did what he did, because he saw the final, he saw the end. Singing was obedience. Principle number two, singing did not cancel or invalidate his humanity. Singing did not cancel his humanity. In Matthew 26, verse 38 says, "My soul is crushed with grief." Not any grief, to the point of death. So whenever you have thought that you want to die, and somebody tells you, don't think about it, just reply, once Jesus thought the same. He felt the same. He wanted to die. "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Can you imagine this specific moment? Now we're moving to Gethsemane. And you know what is Gethsemane means? Press of oil. Press of oil. The emotional weight that Jesus was experiencing was out of control. "I can't take this anymore. This is too much." And Jesus not only said that, but he wants to die. And one of the critical things that we miss so often, my friends and brothers and sisters, so often we miss in the Gospels of the life of Jesus was his humanity. His humanity. We always focus about his divinity. He was the Lord. He was the creator. In the beginning was Jesus. God became a man. He was doing the miracles. He was doing incredible things. He was resurrected. He's now living, which is all of that is true. But we miss his humanity part. He was the perfect man. And here we can see his humanity expressed in a very tangible way. Can you imagine a few hours before? In that room, he was singing as never before. Maybe Jesus was the loudest voice in that room that night. But now his humanity is being exposed at the maximum capacity. The Son of God was experiencing the worst of the tragedies and suffering. When God allows tragedy and evil and suffering in our lives, it is a mystery. Many times in my experience, as I've been trying to counsel people or talking with atheists or non-Christians, they wrestle with the question, if God exists, why does suffering and evil exist? And there are some theological things that we can say about it. But you know what? At the end, we don't know. We have no answer. We have no clear answers for that. He might have reasons. He might have purposes behind that. But the reality is that we as human beings, we do not know. However, what we can respond is this. I don't know the reasons for your suffering. But what I can tell you is that he can relate to you, to your pain, and to your suffering, to your misery. He can relate. He knows what it is. And the shortest verse in the Bible, in the entire Bible, you know which one is? Jesus wept, John 11:35. It doesn't need more explanation. Why Jesus wept. In quick context, you know, that day he refused to go to Bethany, I think. Lazarus was dead. And then Jesus delayed his visit to Bethany, right? And what happened? He comes there and Mary was crying. Say, Lord, if you could come earlier, Lazarus was going to be alive. And he knew what he was going to do, right? In a few minutes, he was going to raise Lazarus. The question is why he wept. Why did Jesus cry? He cried because he saw Mary devastated. He saw the suffering, the misery of humanity in her eyes. So that's why he relates so much to our deeper suffering. That is the reason Jesus was crying. And not only that he relates, but he has promised to be with us in our sorrows. Psalms 23 verse 4, what says, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid for what? Because you are close beside me. He doesn't only relate to your pain and to your suffering, but he has promised to be next to you, close to you, in you, within you. He understands when you say, no more, no more, Lord. Singing or worship is not the absence of pain. It is the presence of trust. Our culture today many times says, hide your pain. You don't have to say what you experience. Or maybe it says, be strong. Deny what is happening. Just take your way and keep going. Move. Or get distracted. Do something else so you cannot think about it. Find an escape to your pain. Or find the strength within yourself. So many self-books, top books in the U.S. and all over the world, famous authors saying, no, you can find your strength within yourself. But on the contrary, we see here in this text, when he said, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death, we find, on the contrary, that Jesus becomes vulnerable. The Son of God, he becomes vulnerable. We can see he demonstrates his fragility. He expresses pain to his disciples and asks them to join in prayer. What a beautiful image for us. How can we also replicate that? We can be vulnerable in this room. We can share our fragility. And we can ask others to pray for me, to pray for you. And not only that, but he also demonstrates in Gethsemane, in the press of oil, to depend on the Father. Singing did not cancel, did not invalidate his humanity. Principle number 3. Also, we can see that Jesus, in this transition moment, he modeled us 2 spiritual disciplines in the trial. Very simple, direct to the point. He's teaching us to sing and to pray. Very simple, very easy, very practical. And I don't know about you, but if you think about the power of music, of singing in Christianity is really powerful. And it has an effect in the aim and in the realms or the spheres of the spiritual battle that we don't see. Paul is saying in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 to 19, do not be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, when you're asking the Lord to give you the capacity to live the Christian life, to give you the power to live the supernatural way, the result will be that you will be singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your heart. That's why when you ask the Lord to control, the Holy Spirit to control your life, and he was modeling that for us, he was singing. And not only that, he's teaching us to sing, but he's also in Gethsemane, in the press of oil, he's teaching us very clearly how to pray. In one point, he was teaching his disciples the Lord's Prayer, right? But in this specific moment, he modeled it for us, how to do it in the trial, and asking to God, avoid the pain. And it's fair enough sometimes to ask the Lord, if you, Lord, can avoid that pain in my life, take it away from me. But otherwise, do your will and not mine. And how prayer is a spiritual warfare component. It has a spiritual warfare component. When he says, keep watch and pray so that you will not give into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Sing and pray to spiritual disciplines that we learn in this transition moment from the Passover and Gethsemane. Let me show you this story about Isaac. Isaac is a guy that we met maybe Zulma and I 16 years ago in Panama City when we were doing campus ministry. And he attended to one of our meetings. He was very, very shy, or not shy, he was very silent, like looking at us like this. And after the meeting that we had with all the young people, remember we were doing campus ministry, many non-Christians and Christians coming to our meeting. And I tried to talk to him and I asked, hey, I'm happy that you came here with us today. And he said, you know, who you guys are? And he was like very arrogant and very heavy jokes. And I said, like, what is this guy doing here, you know? It's a Christian group, you know. But in the process, Sulma and I, we began to love this guy. And we began to disciple him. I began to disciple Isaac. And at the beginning of that movement that we initiated in the Universidad Tecnológica of Panama, in the main campus in Panama City, we were maybe 5 people. That was the whole ministry. Sulma and I and other 2 staff and maybe 2 students, and that's it, including Isaac. But Isaac became an incredible multiplying disciple. And we went from 5 people to more than 200 students. The point that we could calculate the amount of different groups that were multiplying among the campus. All the professors, all the administration, everybody noticed what was going on. And that was 16 years ago. And so this guy is a man of faith, you know. I was... At the end of his career, I was, Isaac, what do you think if you give your first 2 years to the Lord after you graduated as an engineer? And he said, let's do it. And so we began to talk about Campus Crusade in other countries around the world. And we thought about, okay, what about if you go to Russia? This will be an interesting place. We tried to talk to the leaders in Russia. That didn't work. Then we went to, okay, let's try Brazil. We spoke with the leaders in Brazil. That didn't work. And then we finally found a place for him to go, Spain, to work with the Muslims in Malaga. And you know what he did? You see the picture there. When we met him, he was also leading worship sometime with me and Zuma. But you saw the picture with me and Zuma the day that he was departing to Spain. So he went to Spain. Wow, he stayed like 2 years there, evangelizing Muslims, calling me sometimes from the phone, and He was frustrated. He wanted to return. It was difficult. He didn't like it. But you know what happened after that? He was faithful and he remained there. And Isaac ended getting married with another staff from Campus Crusade in Spain, a woman from Spain. They got married, and now they have two kids. You see them in the picture there. But this year, sadly, we found out that Isaac has blood cancer. Sorry. So 2 weeks ago, we spoke over the video call. And half of the meeting, we were crying and praying. And I told him that I was going to talk about him this day, and he knows, and he asked your prayers for him. He's only like 35 years old. And we were talking about, like, do not Google it. Don't Google about if you're going to end days or decades or years. We're going to promise we're not going to see that. But he's with you. The Lord is with you. It's a total disaster. It's a disaster completely. But that is the moment of the singing a song where we have to trust in the unknown. Trust in God when you do not understand. I don't understand why Isaac has blood cancer. So young, with two little kids, doing God's work. He might have some reasons that we don't know. But what I know, and what I told him on the phone that day, is he relates to your suffering. And he has promised to be with you. Let's go to the next one. As we wrestle with this text today, this morning, I hope that by this moment you and I are crushed by this passage. And that is, I think that is the effect that the Lord wants us to feel right now. Because in the very deep you will say, but you know, I am not like Jesus. He was perfect. I don't have the strength in a moment like this to just stand up and sing when I'm just falling apart. And you are right. Because he's the only one that fulfilled all the law, including seeing him before going to die. And this is the moments, these are the moments where we can get confused with this type of messages, when we are going to leave in this door trying harder and trying to do my best. And I'm going to be trying now the next time to sing, even though this is not about this. It's not about trying harder. It's about surrender. It's about trusting Christ. Family, this is not the world it's supposed to be. This is a broken, fallen world. We were not created to die. That's why we're grieving. Some of the members of this church are no longer with us since the last year. People that we love. Eric, Jeffrey, Nancy, and others. That's why we cry. That's why we suffer. Because we were not made for that. At the beginning, we were created by God to live forever. And this is the bad news. But the good news is, when Jesus sang that night, he was singing the ancient Hallel. He was remembering how the blood of a lamb saved Israel and how God drowned their enemies in the Red Sea. But that night, also, in that song, between Passover and Gethsemane, Jesus also was singing a much more powerful Hallel. He wasn't just remembering a lamb. He was the Lamb of God. He sang voluntarily, knowing his own blood would deliver us from the slavery of sin. and hear this good news today. If you and I have put our trust in Christ by faith, just as the Red Sea completely buried the enemies of Israel, the blood of Jesus on the cross has completely buried all our sins, every failure and every shame and every tear and every suffering, everything of our miseries has been taken away. We're not experiencing it now fully, but there will be a point where all of that will be taken away forever. This is our new and better Hallel. So today, right in the middle of our trials, we sing. Not because we are extraordinary, but because our sins have been forgiven. And our Redeemer is faithful, now lives inside of us, and then therefore we have the power. Thank you, brother. We have the power. Now we have the power and the capacity to sing. Not because of my own strength, but because he lives within me. Now we can sing. You cannot carry your trials alone. Christ already walked the valley. Now he walks with you. He sang before the cross. So you will not walk alone. And now we can sing for him. To him. He sang before the cross. So you will not walk alone. Next one. I read in any book maybe last year. I don't remember where I read it, but I remember the image. Stay in my mind. Where the author was saying that the gospel of hope is like a rose in a zone, in a war zone. The gospel of hope, Jesus, is like a beautiful, colorful rose in the midst of a chaos. There's beauty in the chaos, among the gray, among the disaster, between of the destruction. There's beauty. There is hope in the suffering. We can worship definitely in the trial. And family, we do not deny reality with this. We're just declaring who God is. And even if you're not under trials right now, as everybody says, you know, or you are entering into a trial, you're in the middle of a trial, or you're basically live in a trial. But also I want to remind this quote from Charles Spurgeon, the only guy I found that spoke about this text. If you're afraid that the coming trial will be so hard that you won't be able to sing later, then sing today before it arrives. Do your praising before the pain ruins the melody. You know, almost closing. As I mentioned, the last 4 years, it's been really difficult for me, for our family. It's been complicated. We had an incredible cocktail of situations where I came to a point where I say, I'm done. This is it. Like the concert of Michael Jackson, this is it. I'm done. I became ill. I lost like 30 pounds. Can you imagine? I'm skinny, 30 pounds less. And the first doctors told me that I potentially had colon cancer. And I was scared to death. I was scared to death. And then Rebecca got sick. And then we had a scam. The first time we're building our unique home that we dreamed for years, there was a scam. We entered into legal thing. And then I'm sick. I got the new role in the organization. Difficulties in the ministry. Ministry is difficult. And sometimes we project and we present beautiful stories, which is true. But also we don't show the difficulties and the sufferings of doing this. And I was surrounded by my enemies. I was feeling as a failure, as a leader, as a husband, as a parent. I'm done. I'm not going to be out of this. I'm done, Lord. And the only thing I remember I did, because I was in extreme pain, extreme sadness, throwing up every time I was taking the plane to go to a country to give a series of messages. It was horrible. There is a psalm, Psalm 88. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's one of the few psalms that end with darkness. You know, all the structure of the psalms, most of them, they begin like, Lord, I'm feeling desperate. I have no hope. I have no resolution. Where are you, Lord? But then in some point of the psalm begins to be more, but now I was wrong. Now I see a beautiful God, a God of goodness, and things are different. And then it ends with hope. But I was in Psalm 88. I was surrounded by darkness. And I remember, I need to close soon because I'm on time. I remember going to do my daily walks in the morning to get some sun and to try to do some exercise because I was extremely sad. And I put my earphones. Now I was listening to the podcast and sometimes the Bible. Sometimes I didn't want to hear the Bible. Sometimes I just want to listen to music. But I remember I like Chris Tomlin. He's one of my favorite authors. And I think that the algorithm in YouTube, they know it. And so I was walking and they put this song, new song from Chris Tomlin. And he was like, I don't want to hear that song because it's about goodness and he's holy forever. I don't want to hear about that. I don't want to hear that his name is above all names. No, I want to hear something that deals with my misery. Maybe I need salt and vinegar in my wound. This is what maybe I need. This is my flesh speaking. So I hated the song. And the next day I was walking and then the algorithm, again and again, I don't think it was the algorithm, you know, right? It was the Holy Spirit algorithm working there. And until I started to listen to the song, and I was in tears, listening to the song, saying, Lord, I don't want to sing that song, but I'm going to sing it by faith. I'm going to sing about your holiness and your goodness and your character. Maybe I'm not going to listen to songs about my sorrow, but about your goodness. And as an act of faith, now we're going to practice our own Hallel moment right now. As an act of faith, because he lives in you, now you can sing that song. And if you haven't received Christ in your life, this might be also a beautiful moment to surrender yourself to him and to ask him to enter into your life. Forgive your sins, and by faith receive Christ as your Savior and Lord. And if you want, you can stand up. If you want to stay in your seat, you can stay in your seat. If you want to close your eyes, you can close it. If you don't want to close your eyes, but I want to challenge you right now in faith, in obedience, let's have our Hallel moment right now. Morning, we're doing this as an act of obedience. This is the greater Hallel, the more efficient Hallel. Lord, we recognize that each one of us are in different stages, in different situations, and we're experiencing pain and trials right now. But thank you so much for the hope that we have in you. Thank you because right now we can see the rose, beautiful rose in the war zone. And thank you because the story doesn't end like this, Jesus. Thank you because in one day, in one moment, every tear, every sorrow, every suffering will be taken away from us. When we will be in your presence with people from different language, tongues, and nations saying, "Holy, holy, holy." Thank you, Jesus, because this is our destiny. This life is a moment. It's a moment, Lord. And thank you, because in you, we have the hope. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.